A few days ago, there is a woman in my life that means a whole lot to me. And if you guess a little bit, you can probably discover who she is. And she came to me and lamented about an item of clothing she'd bought. She was disturbed because she'd given good money for this item, and only after a few weeks it was no longer serviceable. She looked at me as if she required an answer as to why. And I know a lot of you husbands, you probably never received that look from your wife. Why? I remarked to her, that is the way of business these days in America. Very often, the only concern is the bottom line. As for whether or not the consumer actually got real value for their money they paid, well, that's another matter. After our short discussion, this idea began to take root a little bit, and as Dr. Ost often terms it, it began to cook and ferment. In my case, there was a lot of fermenting. There is a legal term in our society that has operation in our system of capitalism and commerce, and it's known as caveat emptor, and it's Latin for let the buyer beware. Although it's most often applied in real estate, it's found in other areas of commerce and trade as well, and it means this. It means absent any warranties or guarantees put forward by the seller, the buyer assumes the risk. That means if you buy it, it's yours, liabilities and all. This doctrine has undergone a little bit of change over the years, but it's still in operation today. In today's world, a consumer has to be wary, very cautious about how they spend their money. A few years ago, our son showed some interest in working for himself, and he asked me what it is that God expected of a person when they go into business. We had a long conversation about this, and I left him with this to think about. I told him, God requires a just weight and measure. This means, among other things, you don't misrepresent yourself. You do a complete job. You make certain the person you're working for got what they paid for. And you show mercy where mercy is needed. The title for today, brethren, is Just Weight and Measure. It's pretty obvious that God requires fairness and equity when dealing in work and business. We should take a serious approach to our work, our employment, and render to our employer the service they paid for. We can even apply this principle to our annual spring trauma taxes. But is there a spiritual connection in this that we can come to understand? Just weight and measure. If you would please turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. We'll begin here in verse 1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When we think about scales and weights in standards of measurement, we often think of business and trade, commerce. I can recall quite a few years ago, I read a novel that took place in New York City. I believe the main character was a young girl. Her name was Frances, I do believe. And she had the biweekly task of going to the butcher. And this butcher had a reputation for being dishonest and unscrupulous, and he would often lay his thumb on the scale and try to apply more weight than is actually there. And Frances, this young girl, was quite good at dealing with him. She would make him do the whole deal over. And as time went on, the butcher just wouldn't bother with her. He'd just give her what she ordered and send her on her way. Well, you know, the butcher and his thumb are an analogy for unfairness and dishonesty. There, could there be spiritual principles here? Continuing here in verse 2, we find pride. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Verse 3, integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. In verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their own lust. These are spiritual principles, each and every one. But the big question here today is, what does God require of his people, delivering just weight and measure, more in the realm of than the physical? As a younger man, I distinctly remember hearing the phrases Old Covenant, New Covenant, in religious terms, thrown around a lot, usually with little or no explanation as to what that meant, what was actually going on. A covenant is an agreement between two or more persons for the doing or not doing of a certain thing. But the important thing to remember about any covenant, which includes marriage, which includes covenant we hold with God, is that at any level, performance on both sides is involved and required, not just one side, both sides. There are many examples of Old Testament Israel and their service to God under the Old Covenant. But there is one theme that's repeated over and over. God does not require everything we have. He does require our best effort. When a sacrifice was made, it was performed with an animal that was without blemish. Leviticus 22, verse 21. Exodus 12 and verse 5, Deuteronomy 15 and verse 21. Last Sabbath, we heard a great deal about Cain and Abel and their sacrifices to God. One was accepted, which was Abel. The other was not, which was Cain. Over the years, I've heard quite a few explanations for this scenario. But when you get right down to the heart and core, Cain and Abel, the difference between the two was attitude. In Genesis 4:4, it's written that Abel brought the firstborn of his flock. There is an implication here that Abel brought the best he had. Abel had a relationship with God that was right, and we know this because he's called righteous Abel in Matthew, and he's mentioned in Hebrews 11. His love and service to God were reflected in the offering he brought. So was Cain's. His love and service to God, or lack thereof, was reflected in his offering. In Hebrews 9:12 and verse 14, Jesus Christ is described as the perfect sacrifice, also without blemish. In so doing, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God the Father, has given us the best he has. The best of the best. Without Jesus Christ, there isn't anything. So how do we approach this service to God, this just weight and measure? If you would please turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 23. Here we find Jesus Christ talking to the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay the tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain at a gnat swallow a camel." We live in a society today that fully believes and teaches that law is done away, it's over with. But if that were so, we would have also done away with the very thing on which the new covenant operates: justice, mercy, and faith. The very things Jesus Christ said were the weightier things, the meat, the real heart and core of God's law. Justice, mercy, and faith. These are the spiritual components of the law. If you walk away today with those three words, you walk away with a lot. Under the new covenant, we have an obligation to perform a just weight and measure toward God. This is an obligation of love, first to God, then to our fellow man, whoever that may be. This is known as the Great Commandment. If you would please follow me to Exodus 32. Exodus 32, beginning here in verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it's a stiff-necked people. This is just after the episode with the calf. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. I will make of you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented to the harm which he said he would do to his people. Moses was a man who had a fierce love for his people Israel. This was exceeded only in his love for God. Here Moses was deeply concerned over God's name in the eyes of the Gentiles. In this fervent appeal, Moses obtained mercy for his people and at the same time preserved the name of God. This is an excellent example of the power of a fervent appeal made to God by any just man or woman, even if we don't see the direct results. But even more, it's a superb example of fulfillment of the great commandment, love toward God, love toward neighbor. It is the fulfillment of this commandment, it's a just weight and measure toward God. The spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God, mentioned in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. How can we sum up this faithful service to God, this fulfillment of just weight and measure? If you would please, just one more scripture. Proverbs chapter 15, and this will be the last one. Chapter 15, beginning in verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him or her who follows, that is, pursues righteousness. We find this reaffirmed in the words of Paul in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, in the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 6 and verse 33, where he says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He who she or she who pursues righteousness fulfills this service to God, this just weight and measure. Let's not forget, righteousness must be pursued. It must be chased. It doesn't come on its own. We began today talking about an item of clothing that's no longer fit to use. It's worthy to note in these scriptures that righteousness and godly character are described as clothing oftentimes. God will, through his performance of this new covenant, he will provide clothing that will never wear or become unserviceable. Revelation 7 and verse 14. 19 and verse 8. We too will be presented to God blameless. and unblemished, Philippians 2 and verse 15, Ephesians 1 and verse 4. In the kingdom of God, with Jesus Christ as King, there will be no caveat emptor. There will be no cause for concern whether someone will get what they need, whether they get what they paid for. There will be no legal devices to mask dishonesty. There will be no butcher with his thumb on the scale. In a week or so, we will celebrate Pentecost, which pictures, among other things, God performing his part of this covenant, the giving of his Spirit, the power and strength to overcome, the earnest of our salvation. Let us, in faithful word and deed, remember our service to God as well, and deliver him his just weight and measure.